lot of really incredible stories are filed in the memory banks of the people who made Detroit radio what it is today. Frank Maruca recalls one of those stories for you. An incident with Swingin' Sweeney, a former WKNR morning DJ.
For some reason, and I can't recall how it happened, we used to get cakes on Saturday. I think it started with one of the DJ's birthdays, and all of a sudden, why, all the girls would bring in cakes into the lobby on Saturdays at the radio station, and we'd end up with 17 or 20 cakes sitting around the lobby. And I'll never forget this one Saturday when a girl brought in this beautiful big sheet cake for Sweeney about 10 o'clock in the morning as he was getting off the air. And she sat it on a chair in the lobby. The switchboard operator called Sweeney. He came back from the DJ lounge and came out and shook her hand and talked to her and proceeded to sit on her beautifully decorated cake. Of course, at that point, she burst into tears and cried, and we had icing and cake all over everything. Another girl, about 10 minutes later, came into the front door. She had a cake for Sweeney. And as she crossed the threshold of the front door, she tripped and fell, and the cake flew clear across the lobby, all over the carpeting, the rugs, and the furniture.
You're on the Swingin' Sweeney show. That's hardly pretty, but, you know, best we can offer in the morning, nobody else will get up. It's 15 minutes after 8 right now. You're Swingin' with Sweeney and Phil Nye, who has news. The keener temperature is 17.
Looking back some more, and Frank Maruca remembers the Dick Pertin coughing contest, if you will.
I can remember one day back in 65 or so. Our police commissioner in Detroit was a fellow by the name of Ray Girardin, who had quite a bad cough, and it always showed up in every press conference and in every tape that our news department put on the air. So Dick one morning ran a cough-like Ray Girardin contest, and he would take phone calls every 10 minutes or so, and people would get on the phone, get on the air, and try to cough like Ray Girardin. It got very funny. About 8:30, he gets a phone call, and there's a fellow on the phone, and he wants to participate in the contest, and he coughs, and it turns out to be Ray Girardin.
Maruca tells you about one of WKNR's biggest fans.
Henry Ford was a great fan of the radio station, and Henry has a habit of, he rides in a chauffeur-driven Lincoln, but he always sits up front with a chauffeur, never in the back seat. And he got to know us quite well, especially a couple of our newsmen. And I'll never forget the day that I walked out the front door of the radio station with our news director, and down the street comes Henry Ford in his chauffeur-driven Lincoln. The window comes down. Henry leans out the window and yells at the top of his voice, "Yay, Keener," and then proceeds to drive on down the street.
Frank Maruca. Joe Baccarella is currently the program director at WXYZ. Just for you, Joe tells it like it was in the early days of the 60s at WQTE.
My involvement in early Detroit radio goes back just to, I started out at WMIC. However, when it changed to WQTE, WQTE was trying to make an impact on the Detroit market. So their first shot at the thing was to come on with a good music format, and at the time they had, when I say good music format, I should clear that up. They were making reference to music a la WJR probably today, where you would hear more of the Sinatras and all the good music artists, if you will, not necessarily the middle of the road artists, because there was a great deal of difference. And those were the days of Ralph Bingy. Ralph Bingy was on in the morning down there. Eddie Chase was a name out of the past. Ed McKenzie. Ed ran somewhat of a jazz show. And then, of course, myself, I was on in the midday. And in those days, I was asked if I wanted the name of Danny Murphy. And I said, "You were paying the bill, so you can call me Danny Murphy."
Joe Baccarella, what was it really like at WQTE?
They found it just a little tough going with a daytimer, and they weren't making the impact that they thought they should make, and there were many, many program changes. People just didn't knock down the doors. So the next thing was to go over to a top 40 format, and they brought in people like Tom Clay, and I hung in there through that format, and it was successful. We did hops. That was my. I was rocking a rocking disc jockey for about 1 year, and I enjoyed it very much. That time I was program director, and they wanted to put in a WDOK Cleveland-type format, the wall-to-wall type music.
Soft as the fragrant promise of the earth in the springtime. WDOK 102.1 Stereo Cleveland.
Today we were rocking like crazy, and the next day we were wall-to-wall with music, harps, and things like that. And I didn't feel that I was doing exactly what I wanted to do in radio. WQTE was in a strange situation. Their transmitter was in Monroe, Michigan, which is 45 miles from Detroit, which is where I'm from, incidentally. And they had to do 51% of their broadcasting from the city of license, which was Monroe, and 49% from Detroit.
Joe, how'd you get your job at WCAR?
I called a friend of mine who was at WCAR at the time, Barney Morris. And I asked Barney if there were any job openings, and it so happens that there was. So I went up to CAR and got interviewed. And at that time, I went on the air from 7 to midnight. And the first night, I remember my first night on the air, they thought my name was too long, so they wanted to call me Ted Stewart. So just about an hour before airtime, I get a call from the program director saying, don't go on the air with that name, we've changed our mind. I says, well, what am I going to call myself tonight? And he says, well, go on with no name at all, and that's exactly what I did. Well, then the next day they came up with a name like Art Cooper. So I was Art Cooper for, oh, I don't know, probably 6-8 months, until one day the general manager called me in and asked me if I'd like to go back to my own name, and I said there was nothing that I'd like more. And so I went on the air as Joe Baccarella again, saying that this was Joe Baccarella on the Art Cooper show, and then pretty soon I just dropped the Art Cooper part of it. And it was funny because I got a call from a lady who said, I don't know who Joe Baccarella is, but he sure can't touch Art Cooper. And could we please have Art Cooper back? And I tried to explain to her, however, she wouldn't listen.
Joe Baccarella. Clark Reed is a chapter in the history of Detroit radio all by himself. Clark spent some time at WJBK, and through 1964, he was a household word. Currently a vice president of a company in Southfield, Clark Reed gives you his opinion of Detroit radio today.
I'm really not close to the contemporary part of it. I work very long hours in my present job, and I listen once in a while, but certainly not the way I listened when I was had those records pouring into my own earphones for 4 hours a day.
Okay, honey, we got to get on back to our Sugar Shack, and that is record number 8 for the year of 1963.
The Radio 15 News Line records news as it develops in Detroit and around the world 24 hours a day on WJBK.
Your friend on the dial with a smile. Yes, indeed.
Is he smiling?
It's Clark Reed.
Well, maybe he's smiling because the music is swinging.
I think that the day of strictly automated personalities is, I don't think that can last in the long run. I think a person who on the air is interesting and who is knowledgeable and contemporary and relevant to the things that are interesting to the listener will have it up on a guy who simply puts the needle on one record after another.
The individual who can probably be billed as one of Detroit's most personable personalities is Mark Avery. Mark tells us about his departure from WJBK for the second time.
That was about 2 years ago, and that was the end of my second tenure with WJBK. The first had been for 4 years, and I was caught in a concept change, and they had the feeling the first time around that they were going to play what they called just beautiful music, and a person such as myself, who they said had a rock disc jockey image, wouldn't fit with the good music. And it was, of course, after 4 years, look for a job, because my image no longer fit their new image. So on my second trip back, as I say, about 2 years ago, again, there was a lot of talk going on about they were going to change the image. Now, one concept was the fact that they were going to become a rock and roll radio station, and of course I couldn't handle it because I had the image of a good music disc jockey, which I thought kind of incredible because it was the exact turnabout, of course, from just a couple of years before when I left them before. But another concept was the fact that they would go country and western. And at the time, I didn't feel there was much place for myself. At least at that time, I began to believe that maybe my image didn't fit with country and western music. But nonetheless, it was not really a falling out. It was a change of format, a change of concept. Two or three of us there at the time knew that we'd be walking and looking for a job again. Now, I had the opportunity of going two places outside Detroit. I had a job offer in Boston. I had a job offer in Chicago. Now, I have four children, four young children, the oldest of whom, a girl, is in junior high school. That girl started in the same school she attends now in kindergarten. I had gone to 22 schools in my lifetime prior to college. College was 23rd. And I had the feeling at the time that if I could land a job here, then I would avoid moving. Well, exactly that thing happened. The management of WHFI-FM came to me at the time, and they told me that they wanted someone like myself, someone like a Lee Allen, someone like a Don Z, what they referred to as middle-of-the-road personality disc jockeys, and I fit in very nicely.
One of Avery's memorable experiences while at WHFI was a broadcast from his Southfield home while recovering from an operation. With Mark were a few of his friends.
The one they call the Simple Machine at your Ford dealers now.
And, Mark, something just dawned on me.
What, Robin?
This is the first morning show, I think, that's on the air in the city of Detroit that doesn't give the time and temperature every 30 seconds.
Well, I do normally.
It's a pleasure. No, I think this is nice.
But I got something else to think about. It's spontaneity instead of the old crutch.
Yeah.
You always know when a guy gives a time and temperature on the radio, he can't think of anything to say.
Right. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. We're having a wild show from the house in Mouthfield, Michigan. Mark Avery, Clark Reed, Don McLeod, Robin Seymour, even Lee Allen got out of bed this morning, man, and nobody...
Hey, wait, I just dawned on me. That's got to be a wild thing for Allen.
Yeah.
Is he going to be...
You talk about being late for things. Lee Allen has got to be the king of being late.
That's right.
Really?
Don't say that.
Really?
Plenty of trouble. No.
Yeah. I had the operation, right, and Lee got on the air, and I don't know what he said because I was out of it. I got some of the most apologetic cards and letters, you know, that were written. Dear Mark, we're sorry. Lee's right. It's time the silent majority stands up and says, get well, Mark Avery.
During that unique broadcast, a fellow DJ called Avery while he was on the air.
I don't believe this guy on the telephone, and I don't know whether I dare mention his name or not. If I mentioned the fact that you were on my telephone, you'd get fired. You would. What, are you on the air down there? Oh, really? Don't tell me you're on the air on that radio station. Yeah. This is a guy that also used to work for this radio station under the name of Hank Burdick, WHFI, who is now Hank O'Neill on WJBK, and he's got me on the telephone. What do you want, Hank?
Ask him how his kazoo.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, WDEE. We've done everything else.
The orange blossom
right?
special.
Right. Are we on the air? Huh? You're not on the air on your radio station. Yeah, we're on the air on my radio station. You chicken, you called me during a newscast. Right? Boy, I don't know how you're going to explain to John Grubbs what you were doing calling me on the telephone today, man. We got Robin Seymour over here in the corner. He's singing Orange Blossom Special for you, Hank. How's that? Did you know what went on here this morning? We had quite a lineup. I had Clark Reed and Don McLeod and Robin Seymour and Lee Allen. We were all here rapping this morning since about 7 o'clock. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you owe your position in Detroit right now to Don McLeod in case you'd like to come over here and beat him up.
Don't blame it on me.
Don McLeod used to drive me nuts to listen to a guy on WHFI-FM called Hank Burdick. How would Don McLeod like a job on the weekends? You want a job on the weekends playing in Hillbilly Records, McLeod?
Hmm?
You want a job on the weekend playing Hillbilly Records?
I'll take it under advisement, but tell him don't hold his breath.
Don't hold your breath, he'll call you. That's
modern
what he said.
Country.
Tell everybody in my old alma mater and Don McLeod's old alma mater and Lee Allen's old alma mater. Did you ever work at JBK, Robin?
Yeah, 43.
Did you, Robin, work there? Yeah, tell him the alumni club says hello, will you? All right. Thank you, Hank. Bye-bye. That was Hank O'Neill from WDEE, ex-WJBK.
Was WJBK a failure? Is that why they changed formats? Mark Avery comments.
Well, I don't know that they failed. They had a concept. They talked for many, many years about going into country and western music, you see. It wasn't a new idea. We sort of kicked it around, as I recall, when John Grubbs was there as a program director. In the early 60s, there was the idea that perhaps JBK, with their new 50,000-watt signal grant from the FCC and all, would succeed very successfully, in fact, as a country and western station. Well, of course, they do very well now. They finally made the move. They discussed that move possibly for 10 years, possibly longer. But the 10 years that I've been in Detroit, they have oft times considered becoming a country and western station, which, of course, they have done. But going back to 2 years ago, they brought in a gentleman who had a very successful history, a guy named Mike Scott. Mike is one of the most dedicated people I've known in the radio business. I've known quite a few like Mike who they have a, well, to go back to a preconceived idea, Mike was familiar with a whole different kind of radio. He was not familiar with the city of Detroit.
The Big D's Mike Scott.
Time was a big factor. To begin with, you got to realize that anytime you change a radio station, unless you make a radical change overnight and go with a lot of promotion, publicity, and good, solid programming, you're not. And we didn't do that at JBK because at the time we were not sure which direction we wanted to go. I'm not saying me. All I was hired to do at JBK was to contemporize, which we did. We had four music policy shifts, and in late August of 1969, we were given the go-ahead to make it into a rock station, which we then did, with the addition of personalities and minor promotions, and it takes a lot of money. And by the time we got everything organized to go into rock, the decision was made to go country with it.
Cow Sills at 12 before 9 on JBK, 78 degrees with Hemming in the AM, Mark Avery. By the time, well, Hank and Kayo get in here this afternoon, we'll be a little ready for a swim in the cove, you know. I said earlier this morning, man, what we should have done is brought a bucket of ice water in here, you know, and stick our feet in it, maybe. Gonna be a warm day, warm and humid, and thundershowers developing this afternoon. Mom's Mabley. Say that again, Mom's Mabley on Radio 15, 11 before 9, 78 already, in the mid-80s later this day.
Mark seems to be very sincere as he describes his love for Detroit.
I think of this town as my hometown, and I hope you'll forgive me. I do want to imply that I love the city when I refer to it, and I'm afraid you won't forgive me, as the greatest hick town in the world. It is the biggest small town in existence in the world today. There can't be a bigger small town, and I love small towns. I grew up in small towns. I once lived in the mountains of Pennsylvania. I even went to a one-room schoolhouse. People find that hard to believe, and I'm not that ancient, really. But I like small towns, and I like the small town concept, and heavens, here's a city with millions of people in the metro area, and still it's a small town. Brooke Benton on the Thursday Mark Avery Show from Radio 15. Just a matter of time, isn't that right, Conrad?
Right.
It's a matter of about 3.5 minutes from now for Conrad Patrick, in fact. Mike Scott came into Detroit from the San Francisco, California area. If Mike had a failure, and I don't want to say that he did, but I have the feeling that Mike did not know the years that had gone into JBK prior to his joining the radio station. JBK is a very folksy image radio station. Thereby, they could make a switch to country and western with no problem at all, because that's a folksy kind of believable image air personality. The guy next door, right? And believe me, boy, the people thought of us at JBK in the 60s through all kinds of things as the guy next door. We were like one of them. And that's the kind of thing. They didn't want some phony given time and temperature and bam, bam, bam. No personality, no believability. You know, they wanted to identify with the people on the air. Well, of course, the only thing that I know of was changed, besides the music getting a little harder, was they took away the identification. They took away the ad-lib comments. They took away the rapport with people on the telephone. You know, we used to have a telephone beside us that rang continually with listeners calling. If their kid had a toothache, they called us and told us. That's the kind of a station JBK was for many, many, many years prior to 2 years ago when they tried to cut it out and go another way.
8:05 a.m. at JBK in Detroit. Lee Sims till 9, then Tom Shannon, Hank O'Neill makes it at noon. And at 3 o'clock this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, a fellow Californian of mine, Mr. K.O. Bailey. They have done research on his show. He's been here about 3 weeks now, about 3 weeks longer than I have. And already four people who listen to his show have come down with cancer. If you touch a radio when he's on, you get third-degree burns. And not only that, but he'll break your leg. Dig him this afternoon. If you really want to be pained, if you're a sadist, it's K.O. Bailey at 3 o'clock.
For WJBK, AM and FM in Detroit.
WDEE Detroit.
The Big D.
They're a very folksy, believable, personable, friendly, fine radio station the people can identify with, and the people love them for it, and they're back to being successful.
What about Mark's success at the station in Birmingham?
It was far more successful than even I felt it would be, and I gave it a great chance. You don't have to have any particular inside knowledge to give FM radio a great chance. Ultimately, it has a great chance. As to when, well, how long, for heaven's sake, has legislation been pending in our Congress? How many times has it been tabled, I wonder? I don't really know. I don't have the facts on it. But, you know, for years we've talked about someday it will be mandatory, as it became mandatory when people sold a TV set to have both UHF and VHF on the same TV set. Ultimately, it will become mandatory that an AM radio includes an FM radio, and nobody manufactures the one without the other anymore. The legislation has been there, pending for, oh, I don't know how many years, really. I've heard it talked about the last three or four. But WHFI was, I thought, a tremendous experiment. I still think, I don't think that my leaving the station, or Don Z leaving, or Lee Allen leaving, if they keep the concept, going back again to being associated with the people, well, I think, let me say it this way, our rapport with the people, I think, was great, and it was genuine. Again, we had telephones. Again, we had a strong association with people 24 hours a day who called and identified with us on the telephone. They thought, you know, I know people that I correspond with, that I talk with almost daily, still, since I've left WHFI, people whom I've never seen. I've never seen their face, their children. I've talked with them for years on the telephone. That's very important.
Most recently, Mark Avery was hired by WJR. We questioned Mark about how that association came about.
Would you believe that it took 6.5 to 7 years to make a decision? Well, first of all, let me tell you that I'm overjoyed and pleased to be here. If I can go back to my childhood days in Dayton, Ohio, WJR was like the Taj Mahal. There were two radio stations that, as far as we were concerned in Dayton, Ohio, were the world's greatest. One was WLW in Cincinnati, again a 50,000-watt clear channel radio station. The other was WJR in Detroit. We began talking, as I recall, in late 64 or early 65. Well, my duties at WJR, I am the host of the Saturday Music Hall. In other words, I work Saturday morning because Jimmy and JP are both off for that day. They take a two-day weekend. I'm responsible for working the morning show when JP is out, or the afternoon show when Jimmy is out. They have a lot of vacation weeks coming up this summer. They occasionally take a day off, and of course, like all of us, they get sick. The rest of the time I spend as a staff announcer, with a half a dozen other guys.
Mark Avery. Ron Rose, currently with WHFI, runs through a few old memories about Detroit radio.
I started in radio at a little place called WLIN, which was in Lincoln Park. And that station went on the air, I think, in about 1961. I was still in high school then. That was my first job as being program director of a radio station. I think I earned $21 a week.
This is station WLIN, Detroit, Michigan. WLIN is owned and operated by Downriver Broadcasting Center, Incorporated, a Michigan corporation with studios and transmitter in Detroit.
I'll tell you a funny story about WLIN. The fellow that owned it, Dave Kelly, now owns a radio station up in Manistique, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. And he's got a good little operation there. But you'd be surprised, some of the people that I worked with at that little radio station that nobody ever heard of, because Ed Bush, who is now on, I believe he's on WCAR, and he was on, I think he was on CKLW and some other stations in Detroit, used to bug me every night to let him play disc jockey. And I used to say, no, Ed, you're not experienced enough, you know. And he ran around in his Bermuda shorts, and I don't know, he must have been all of 15 years old, and I was all of 16 years old. But Ed had an amazing talent for picking hit records. And he used to pick all the records when we were top 40 at LIN. And one night, somebody got sick or something, and we put Ed Bush on the air, and the rest is history.
Right here at 92 for you, WLIN, and this is what we call the Ed Bush Show, and this is an Easter Sunday.
From the WLIN Linear Survey.
You know, no discrimination.
This is record rated number 3.
Here are the Four Seasons. What do you say we stay on 92 for just a little bit longer, boys?
When I started there, I was on the air from 6 to 10 at night. And then there was a fellow that came in from 10 at night till 1 o'clock in the morning. And he came from Canada, as a matter of fact, as an announcer on CBC. And I think you'll remember him well. His name's Don Haney. And he used to do a jazz show right after I finished my top 40 show on WLIN. And Don Haney's story is history, too, because he went from LIN to WJR's staff announcer. Now he's got his own TV show.
Rose said, too.
Now, I'm a firm believer. I would have never said this when I was back at CAR, but I'm believing it more and more every day, that FM is really taking over the markets. In New York City, most of the ratings are garnered by the FM radio stations. And if you take a look at the national rating services that rate here in Detroit, you'll find that almost 50% of the ratings are controlled by FM radio stations. And it's actually frightening when a station like WOMC will now beat WCAR in the ratings. That's scary.
Music designed especially for your listening enjoyment from Stereo 104. WOMC, Detroit.
I think there's good reasons for it, though. An FM radio, if you've got it in your home, and you've got an AM radio, and you've got them both at the same volume, if you walk into the next room, you can still hear the FM, but you can't hear the AM. If you have an FM radio in your car, when you drive under a viaduct, you don't lose it. You've got an FM radio in your car, you can drive under Cobo Hall on the expressway, and it doesn't fade out on you. And there's nothing in the world more irritating than to be listening to Dick Burton in one of his funny bits, or JP, and every time you hit a viaduct right at the punchline, you miss it. And it's just an inherent problem with AM radio.
Robin Walker was the last Jack the Bellboy at WJBK in 1964. He's currently the National Program Director for Midwest Broadcasting, based in Peoria, Illinois. Robin remembers...
When I came to WJBK, I was at the very end of an era, and it was kind of interesting because it was my first crack at the big time in Detroit, and it was the end of the era of the super personality, this jockey. You know, a lot of people in Detroit now will probably disagree with me on that statement, but it was the dawning of an era when, of course, Mike Joseph programmed KNR, Keener. It came in, and it was very hard-hitting, quick-moving, very little-said kind of a format. I think JBK was in the era, and of course the Jack the Bellboy show, of the expanded personality, and guys like Tom Clay had preceded me, and those are large shoes to fit or to step into. And it was interesting because I was in, as I said, on the end of one era and at the beginning of another, and it's given me a great deal of perspective on what I'm doing now. And I didn't say, or at least I hope I didn't intimate, that personality radio was dead. The approach has changed a great deal.
WJBK Radio, the station with real personality.
Let's do it one more time with the Supremes.
Yeah. We pick the greatest and play the latest music without delay. This is WJBK, where you hear more music every day.
I will not put a tourniquet or a Band-Aid on my tongue either. Ricky Nelson, one more time.
Well, when WJBK changed format, they went into something that was kind of an automated staff announcer kind of a thing. And it was very depressing to the guys that were there, who were at the time theoretically personality disc jockeys, or at least very expanded air personalities, because we were told to say beautiful music, and we had to separate these cream of wheat commercials that passed for music at the time, and they're very non-offensive, kind of middle of the road strings, 101 strings, and that kind of thing. We were not personalities anymore. We were not allowed to, as I remember, we weren't allowed to give our name more than once an hour. I'll be very honest. I can speak for myself. I'm an ego, and I think anybody in this business is, and all of a sudden they rip your microphone away, and they say, you become a staff announcer now. And, Lord, it's very depressing.
We'll take a listen to the rise of CKLW and relive with you the night their tower almost fell down, and talk with some of the people who spent some time at the Big 8. All that coming up in the next segment of Detroit Radio, then, now, and tomorrow.